So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we do not take it for granted. We know that it is his mercy, it is his love, it is his grace. And today, by the grace of God, we look at this man called Barnabas, who is also called the son of encouragement or also called the son of consolation. And we'll try and trace his steps through the scripture. And by it, we'll be able to understand what manner of man was this and what manner of spirit does he have, and really the difference that he makes in the life of Paul or in the life of Saul, and also to the church and the need for such kind of brethren. Because at the end of the day, this journey is a long time journey. We need men who will encourage us. We need men who will pick us up. We need men who will introduce us. We'll also need men who will show us grace. And really, this is the character that we see of Barnabas. We see him as a giver. We see him as one that is really for the body, for the body, for the body. And that is his heart. Now, we first get to learn of Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. And this is where in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible tells us, "Now the multitude of those who believed were in one heart and soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any one among them who lacked, for they were all who were possessors of lands or houses, sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as to anyone has need. And Joseph, who is also called Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated the son of encouragement, some versions call it the son of consolation, "a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So our first introduction of Barnabas, we are told his name is Joseph, actually, and whose name was also named Barnabas. So he was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement or son of consolation, and he was a Levite. He was a Levite. That means he was of the lineage of Levi, of the country of Cyprus. I remember there were Jews that were in various parts of the world, and remember, when you think of the time of Pentecost, they had come into Jerusalem and to hear, to celebrate Pentecost, and then they had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So he also sold land, and he brought the money and laid it to the apostles' feet. So we already see a selfless heart from the onset, that he is one that was willing to sell his property and bring it to the apostles' feet. Now, where we have been looking at the story of Saul, remember Saul, when he converted and he attempted to go to Jerusalem, the disciples were not ready to receive him. Why? Because they did not believe him. They did not believe that he had truly converted, and they thought maybe he was a spy coming to spy on them, and then he would still attack them. And of course, also, if this is someone who has killed your brothers and sisters, that comes to you, think of maybe this is a person who has been, you know, maybe a terrorist or something like that, and then this person converts and he comes to your church as a believer. Or think of someone who you know has been a witch doctor, you know, or a womanizer, or someone who people will consider the worst kind of sinners. And when they convert and come to the church, unless there is a son of encouragement to welcome them, to walk with them, to introduce them, many times this person will not be received. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says, it tells us of Saul, and it tells us that immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But the Bible says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Verse 25. Then their disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him, and this is where we see Barnabas again. We see and Barnabas, who is the son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So we can see Barnabas brings Saul to the apostles, introduces them, and then verse 28 tells us, so he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. So when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Remember, Saul was from Tarsus, so he was sent back to his home. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Can you imagine one man who was a terror to the church? And when he was converted, the Bible says that the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, and they were built, they were edified, they were encouraged, and they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Remember, this is no longer addition. Addition is evangelism. Multiplication is discipleship. There the Bible says, and they were multiplied. Now, Barnabas has introduced Saul, and this shows us a very important aspect. Now, the church once hears that there is that the believers that were scattered that went to Antioch, and this is Antioch, is one of the towns where the believers were actually first called Christians here, that they went and formed a church in Antioch. Remember where after the persecution of the church, they went and formed a church in Antioch. Now, the Bible at this point shows us that the church sends Barnabas and Saul to encourage this church. Okay, actually it sends Barnabas. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 11. And the Bible says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but to the Jews only. So they were preaching, you know, the believers are only targeting the Jews, the ones who were scattered. But some of them were men from Cyprus. Now remember, Cyprus is on this side of Africa. Eh? Some of the men were men from Cyprus and Cyrene is the one from Africa. And who, when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists. The Hellenists refers to Greeks. They spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. So some of the men who are believers, they came, and to them they were like, no, we're not just going to preach to Jews alone. We're also going to preach to the Greeks, the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. So the Bible says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were added to the Lord. So, verse 25 says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I want you to see how Barnabas is being described. And we see that the Bible tells us that he was a man, he was a good man, he was an encourager, he was a preacher, he's ready to be sent by the church, he's full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And when he goes, he remembers, oh no, I cannot just stay here in Antioch where there are good things happening. He leaves them, he goes to Tarsus to look for Saul, where you remember they had sent Saul away. They had sent Saul away from Jerusalem and they had told him, you go back to your home because it is safer for you there. He says, no, let me go and look for Saul. Goes and look for Saul, brings him, and they preach and teach the church. And the Bible tells us the church grew. And this is where the believers were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because they were able to live a life that demonstrated Christ, and they were like little Christs. It was actually like an abuse, little Christ. These are the Christians. And this was the work of Barnabas and the other, people who were preaching, the disciples who went and preached to the Greeks. And the Bible says in that time there were many prophets. Now, I want you to see how this man is very important to the church, is very important in the life of Saul, and is very important. He shows his heart. He's a good man, full of faith, full of giving, full of the Holy Spirit, and is able to encourage the church. Now, Acts 12, verse 25, the Bible says, that and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, so they were sent out for their first missionary journey, and they went and traveled with Saul together, and they also took John, whose surname was Mark. Now John was, Mark, John Mark is a cousin of Barnabas. So when they're going on ministry, Barnabas took John Mark with him and accompanied them with Saul. Now in Antioch, when they were in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, we see something interesting that is happening. The Bible says that now in the church of Antioch, Acts 13 verse 1, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon was called Niger, or Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So them being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went out to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And there, when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, as they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius and Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, and this is also very important, I'll show you why, because this is the times the scriptures call Saul Paul. I mean, where there's a name change. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing anything. You shall be blind, not seeing anything. Just a second, it moved away. You shall be blind, not seeing anything, and not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, I want us to see something here. When the Holy Spirit is sending out the Barnabas and Saul, it calls them, it refers to the order Barnabas and Saul. And that it means that even to the Holy Spirit, at this time, it considers that Barnabas is ahead of Saul. And for a long time, we'll see that it was always Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was a believer before him. He was a son of encouragement. But you see, when they are sent by the Spirit, and they now go and they encounter this sorcerer, then we see a change, because now Saul, who is now called Paul, manifests the power of the Spirit. And by virtue of the leadership of the church, at that point, whoever had more capacity came ahead of them. And one of the things that you see from this transition, now the scripture starts to call them Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because Barnabas is ahead of Saul, but Paul is ahead of Barnabas. And that tells you that when Paul starts to manifest the Spirit, Barnabas steps back and allows Paul to take the leadership, allows Paul to preach, allows Paul to be the one speaking. Why? Because he can see that the gift of the Spirit has been given, the leadership or the authority has been given to Saul. And this is really a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of humility, a spirit that is able to introduce, and a spirit that does not want its own self. Now, Paul is able to command that sorcerer, and the eyes turn black. Now, in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, the Bible says, now when Paul and his party sailed, now you see, now the Bible starts to speak of Paul and his party. That includes Barnabas. When Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So we can see John Mark decides to leave Paul. And in this point, Paul is very unhappy with him. And he's not happy with him. Why? Because he deserted him. And we can see that Paul in this time is still young in his faith. He's still young in his missionary journey. People have not started leaving him. So he's very angry with John, who leaves him. And this is what happened. Now, Paul and Barnabas, eventually they move. They are opposing Antioch. Remember, the people, you know, starts to want to stone them. But then eventually they have to leave. And so they carry on preaching the word of God. But then they go to this place in Lystra, where they found a crippled man who was crippled from the womb in Acts chapter 14. And the Bible tells us that Paul, when he saw that the man had faith to be healed, he told him, stand up straight on your feet, and he walked. Now, the people who were watching them, and you can read this in Acts chapter 14, verse 11, says, now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas they called Zeus, which is their god, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. So we can see that even in their journeys now, Barnabas was more silent. Of course, he was a man, he was a preacher, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, but he allowed Paul to speak. Why? Because the gifting, the manifestation was given to Paul. And the Bible says that, and Hermes, because he was a chief speaker. And of course, you can see when they heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. And we preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. Now, another example again also of where they work together is now in the Jerusalem Council. Remember when the Gentiles, certain teachers who were Jews started preaching to the Gentiles that, oh, you people should be circumcised. So the early church sends Barnabas and Paul, they send them to the early church to preach to them and to give them encouragement. And this is something that happens. However, in Acts chapter 15, the Bible says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, this is verse 36, Acts 15, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Remember, Barnabas is a man of encouragement. He's like, we have been preaching to these churches. Let us go back and strengthen them and encourage them. Now, verse 37 says, now Barnabas was determined to take John Mark. John called Mark. Remember, he was his cousin. I determined to take John Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with them because with the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them in the work. The Bible says the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia and is strengthening the churches. So a time comes where Barnabas and Paul have to split. Now, why do they split? Barnabas wants to go back and encourage the churches that they have visited. But Paul, on the other hand, wants to go forward to new places. Remember, said Paul in his heart, he determined to preach in places where no one had ever preached. It's not a bad thing that what they wanted to do. But you see, the issue was, at this point, Paul was not yet forgiving. He was like, John Mark, you abandoned us, and I do not accept that you go with us. I mean, you are a deserter. We will not go with you. But Barnabas is a son of encouragement. Barnabas is one that is able to pick people who have fallen. And he's like, no, Saul, you have forgotten who you are. You killed the church. You killed the church. I brought you to the church. But John Mark just abandoned us. There's nothing wrong with that. I will take him. But Paul, at this point, he has forgotten. You know, remember, he was a Pharisee. He had that zeal for, you know, persecution and all that. So if you abandon us, I mean, we deal with you. And Barnabas, the son of encouragement, picks up another one who has fallen on the wayside and tells them, come, let us go with you. And he goes with them. Paul goes his own way. John Mark and Barnabas comes his own way. But you see, Paul has an old man. He is in prison. He has faced desertment so much that the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, be diligent to come to me quickly, is writing to Timothy, for Demas has forsaken me, having this loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Look at everyone. He had sent people in other directions, and Demas had forsaken him. And he says, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. Even those who fall, you know, at times people think that, oh, because someone is a believer, they have converted, they might not fall. People, at times they make mistakes, at times they fall, at times they go back. But you see, just because someone has made a mistake, just because a lady got pregnant or did something, does not mean that God will still not have something, a ministry for them. And you see, this is the heart of God that Barnabas had, that he could still see that John Mark had a ministry, and he encouraged him. And now Paul, in his old age, when he's in prison, he remembers John Mark and asks, please send John Mark with me because he is helpful for me in ministry. And the Bible actually confirms that John Mark came. How did he come? We've seen Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, and 11, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers in the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to you. So he's telling them, look here. Mark has come. Now I'm also sending him to Colossian church. When he comes to you, if you have received instructions about him, welcome him. What do we learn from Barnabas? He is a man that has the heart of God. He's able to see, you know, diamonds in the dirt. He's able to see those that are forsaken. He's able to build them up. He's able to give. He's able to encourage the church. I will actually say Barnabas has the heart of a pastor because he's a shepherd. He's able to pick the broken ones, build them up. And I pray that God will give us such a heart, the eyes of God, that see people and see what that they can become. And even when others, those that you have raised, become greater than you, there is nothing wrong with that. Allow them to serve God and release them and step back and let them do what God has called them to do. I'll stop here and I pray God will give us insight. If my people, you're welcome for any reflections here.
Thank you, Dr. Mona. Story and the account of Barnabas.
Yes.
Name Andrea. I think I see embodies the characters of Destiny Helper. And you can see that was a very good companion to Paul.
Yeah.
Also knew his place.
If you
look at in the scripture, Barnabas knew God before Paul.
Yeah.
In all ways, he was more mature in Christianity, in the spirit, than Paul. This place. He knew that God has asked him to support Paul. Paul had to call him. So I think in life, we all need a Barnabas in our lives. How we walk the journey that God appoints us to walk as Christians.
Amen, amen. We all need a destiny helper. Thank you for that. Yes, my sister, welcome.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Good morning.
Morning.
From today's Bible study, what came to my mind is that we need to always stand with the ministries to ensure that the gospel will reach the nations of the world. Through our work, as Barnabas supported, as he was called, that he supported, that's why he was given that name of consolation. Through our sacrifices, many are reached.
Yeah.
And the word of God reaches those that are not able to. So it just brought me back to some of the work that I was doing. And I really didn't understand whereby you're just doing it, but again, you're contributing toward the expansion of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It's a journey where the Spirit of the Lord guides us and leads us. Otherwise, Barnabas would have also felt like, no, I cannot move forward with this, making all the sacrifices. But it needs the hand of the Lord. And to understand what does the word of God say when it comes to salvation and what is our role. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It's a good angle to look at it. What's our role that those who God has given, and those who are in the field, and those who support those who are in the field to serve the Lord. Yeah, I pray that God will soften our hearts and not look at the struggles that are around and the issues and the fears, and just stand with the work of God. Because at the end of the day, this was a man who sold all that he had, and the gospel moved forward. And I pray that God will touch us in various ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have encouraged us today through the life of Barnabas, the son of consolation. I pray for the heart of consolation to be embodied in us, to be embodied in your people today, and indeed in various aspects, not only to be receivers, but also to be givers, O God. I pray that your people shall be able to have the heart of God to reach out to those that are broken, to those that are fallen, to go and return them back and to walk with them and to even allow them to shine and do the work that you have called them. I thank you and I honor you. I remember those that are sick in various places, that your hand and power be with them. I pray for those that are trusting you for breakthrough, for various answers, that Lord, indeed you are able to meet them at their point of need. We submit this day before you. Go ahead of us, strengthen and watch over us. May your name be praised and be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.